be a part of the show. Call in and join in on the conversation. 781-837-4900. Now, back to Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we are back. Thank you very much, Malcolm, for giving us an update as to what is going on out on the highways and the byways. We turn our attention to Representative Deal, who will give him an opportunity during the show.
During the co-hosting thing, I get to drop the title of representative briefly, right?
And yeah, you can be a Jeff.
All right, I'll
with a G.
I'll put the hat on. Yeah, with a G.
Actually, you know what? Let's make it really incognito. We'll do what you we'll Jeff with a J.
Jeff with a J, yes. and D E A L, right?
Yeah.
Instead of D I E H L. Okay.
First and foremost, we had a chance to chat with you late last week in the newsroom. You were a guest during the South Shore's Morning News. And you enlightened us to your event today. You had two sessions. We did a little bit of CPR AED training.
Yeah, so the American Heart Association, if people aren't aware, has designated this, it's Heart Health Month, the month of February. And how perfect, right? I mean, Valentine's, it's a great tie-in. But it's also, you know, when people are doing a lot of snow shoveling. I mean, I know we just had a storm recently. And, you know, they want to be sure that people are aware that this is also kind of the heart attack month, that you want to be careful when people are out there doing that heavy lifting of wet snow. And so this has become the Heart Healthy Month. And what we've done, my office for the last, it's going on, it's the sixth year now. So each session since I've been in office, we've hosted the American Heart Association. Michael Kyler from Abington comes down. Allison Perrone, who is a lobbyist up at the State House for the Heart Association, they bring in people to do training so that people can learn not only how to do CPR. If they've never done CPR, they can learn how to do it, but also how to use one of the automatic electronic defibrillators or an AED machine. And I'll tell you, it looks a lot more ominous or a lot more. I know when people probably look at those AEDs on the wall, they think, oh, that's too high tech. You actually now literally, when those things are needed, you just open the lid and it explains to you, by talking to you, it actually tells you step by step how to turn it on, how to put the electrodes on a person, and how to stay back basically when it's ready to shock them. Exactly. They even put a razor blade in those if you have to shave somebody, you know, like so you have good contact on their chest. So it was a training seminar for that. And it also just kind of refreshed some people who I'm sure have heard about CPR, but maybe forget about it. And they're starting to move towards what's called hands only, where you don't necessarily do the breathing anymore. The compressions on the chest, which should be, by the way, about 2 inches deep in an adult, and just fingertips pressing for infants.
Crush somebody's rib cage.
Yeah, for infants. You want to, you do want to leave them obviously in somewhat decent health by the time you revive them, but you want to make sure you get those compressions, and those compressions actually can help fill the lungs and get them the air. And so, just raw numbers, there's about 360,000 heart attacks outside of a hospital setting every year. So for people to know CPR and potentially use AEDs that are in a lot of public buildings nowadays. And by the way, you should also get on your phone, have somebody else call immediately for 911. If they're not around, call 911 first and then proceed to do this type of stuff. But if you have training, it actually has proven in communities with AEDs and CPR training, 40% of people actually are able to be resuscitated and kind of get to the hospital and get back in decent shape. So it's important. And by the way, every minute that you delay in performing this is about 7 to 10%. Increased risk of the person passing away. So it really is important for people to know that you can make a difference with people with their health as far as just an emergency situation. You don't have to wait for professionals, but you should call them first. And so we had two sessions at the State House today. About 40 plus people ended up signing up and getting trained, and we've done it now, like I said, for since I've been in office, and people renew their licenses there. It's a great little way for people who work for different legislators to kind of come down, legislators to come down.
Yeah, that was kind of your tagline, is to say, come on down and learn CPR with a legislator.
Yeah, and we served some healthy lunch along the way. But Senator Bruce Tarr was there. Representative
Tarr Talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Tarr Talk.
And Brad Hill from Ipswich was down there as well, and a lot of aides that really wanted to learn this as well. Great thing to do, and I think if anybody wants to learn more, they should go to the American Heart Association and take a look. They will give you, there's listings of where you can go to get training for CPR and AED training.
See, that was the Eagle Scouts are coming out.
You know, it's funny. Somebody was there today, and they said, you know, I'm a Boy Scout, and I haven't trained on this in a long time. And I said, I know, you know, I became an Eagle, and you learn it in your first aid merit badge. But I also was a lifeguard. I got lifeguard BSA. You have to learn CPR. At the time, we didn't have AEDs, CPR alone. But now with the AEDs, you really have an increased chance to save people. So all those scouts out there today, you know, you really got more at your fingertips than we used to have in the old days. The old bandage, we used to take our bandana from our neck and make, you know, a sling for people for their arms.
Sure.
Nowadays, you have a little bit more stuff in your emergency kit, I guess.
We've come a long way, haven't we? Now, Joe is a younger guy. Well, a lot of the stuff that we're seeing these days was when you're kind of cognitive is a lot of the things, but where you and I got just a fraction, a little bit more than on Joe. Some of the things that we used to be able. How old are you, Joe?
27. But I'm also an Eagle Scout as well.
You are,
yeah. So
why
I had
weren't
to,
you up there helping?
So I had to. I know. So I had to learn the same type of things with the bandanas, making the slings, and we did the Klondike Derbies where you had to make the cots out of the blankets. It is now part of the Marshfield soccer fields, but it was at one time.
I'm disappointed that you could tell me it was to rebuild part of the Marshfield seawall.
No, actually, no. It was to redo a neglected courtyard at the old Marshfield High School.
Oh, very cool.
Which is now no longer there.
And how long ago was this?
2006.
Is it still there, or is it since been removed?
Well, the school's gone, so the courtyard is now
it's been
grass. It's part of the fields that they'll play soccer on. You know, so you could probably geolocate it and then figure out where the courtyard used to be, and
sure.
It's been redone now again.
I think as a technicality, you have to go and maintain that grass. No,
that one area right there.
One area.
What's interesting is I will say that up until the courtyard, the school was demolished, I would still go out there and do small things to the courtyard just to make sure it stayed. The custodians did a great job, but, you know, making sure mulch was still there and cutting some of the weeds back. And
carrying and giving back.
That's right.
What was your Eagle Scout project?
So I, at the time when I was earning my Eagle, was living in Illinois. I was actually in a town that was right on what's called the Green Bay Trail. There's a train that goes from Green Bay, Wisconsin, all the way into Chicago, all right? And so along that train line for miles, and I mean, I don't know how many miles it was between there. I mean, it's pretty long distance. There's a bike trail the entire way, right? You can ride your bike from Green Bay, Wisconsin to Chicago. And so in each town, there's a section of the Green Bay Trail. And in the town I was living in, it had become basically the fence that was separating the train and from the track from the trail itself.
Disrepair.
Had completely fallen apart. There was graffiti on the overpasses, and even part of the trail itself had kind of crumbled apart. So we basically took the 1 mile stretch that our town ran of Green Bay Trail and reworked it so that it was back in decent shape. You know.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, and it's you know,
how much work went into that?
Oh gosh. Well, you know, part of the Eagle project is planning the thing. Part of it's getting, you know, getting the materials, fundraising for it, getting other troops to participate in it, logging all those hours. So, I don't know. I have a full report. I actually have a binder. You have to have a binder. So I do have a full report. I can try to give you that.
I am hoping that the folks who are tuning in a little late to Monday Night Talk, they're getting the Eagle Scout reports from Joe and Jeff here.
But you know what's neat.
Yeah, and you're right. One of the things too is also tracking hours of yourself and the people that help out. Like I know I could go back and look of some 300 some hours that combined everyone put into the project. I'm sure you could too.
And what they don't want is for you to just single-handedly do a project.
That's
yourself.
Right. There's
they
a
want
certain
leadership.
You
have
to delegate,
right?
Yeah,
that's
delegate
right.
That stuff.
Yeah. And that was neat. But
now, did you delegate at today's CPR AED?
Oh, I fully delegated. Yeah. I actually was a participant as a trainee. You know, so I was. People can look on my Facebook page and they can see
where they were administrating.
Where I'm pushing at. By the way, they want you to do 100 compressions a minute. So that's more than a compression a second, right?
Oh my goodness.
So you've got to rock pretty quickly. Lock your elbows and rock on your knees because that's how you're going to last a long time until the paramedics arrive. But very nice. Michael Kyler does this every time we do it, and they bring in really cool equipment, by the way. It used to be those giant, you know, Annie dolls, right? Annie, are you okay? You'd shake them, and they had all the electronics coming out. It looked like a scene from Aliens, you know, like, you know, without the blood. And what they have now is just these inflatable things that actually have electronic sort of detectors in them to make sure you're pressing the right depth and all that stuff. And it's got a little plastic face on it, so it looks somewhat realistic. But really, they've kind of scaled it down to all you need is that sort of chest area and a face to practice your compressions and the air. And what they can do is they can actually kind of deflate them and pack about 10 in this red duffel bag, right? And in it, in that duffel bag is also an AED machine for practicing as well. And then
how many volts is that? How many in
the
machine?
Oh my gosh, that's a great question. I don't know, but you do want to do this. If somebody's been drowning, is like you're pulling them out of the water, get them away from the water before you tie that machine on. They say this. And if there's a puddle of water,
yourself or them.
Yeah, if you're kneeling next to that person with a puddle of water,
you kill them. Then you go kill yourself.
Well, get away from that that puddle of water because the charge will come to you.
Good thing to know.
But yeah, no. So those kits, by the way, schools can get them and do it and have training. Recurrent training, or again, your fire department can come and you use them for training. So they've really got a great way to roll out this training program, low cost, pretty quick, and they'll do it at schools. They'll do it all over the place if you ask for it.
Okay.
I mean, if your company, you have a lot of employees and you want to make sure that, you give them something to learn during a monthly meeting or something like that, have the American Heart Association come and do a training. They'll do it.
Well, we have you for the next, at least as the State House report with State Rep Jeff Deal. What else do you want to kind of touch upon while we have you here for a couple of minutes as a guest?
Yeah, so I mean, I think people should be aware the budget season's coming around. This is when town meetings are starting to happen as far as we'll be seeing town meeting. I'm sure people on school boards locally in each town are
going to have people pulling at you as far as local aid, what's going on with
start
education, Chapter 70.
Same thing at the State House, exactly. Yep. The budget line items you're voting on in your town are basically being voted on up at the State House, just a few more zeros at the end of each line. But, I think what people really should take a look at is the fact that we're trying to address a lot of things. There's the opiate bill that's still in conference committee. We're hoping to get that back for passage so that
What's some of the big hang-ups that you and your colleagues know of in regards to it being in committee? Is there any conversation coming out of committee as to some of the things that they're kind of talking about with it in order to move it out of committee?
To be frank, I'm not sure why it hasn't moved out.
Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, I'll be J-E-F-F tonight. So, I think we actually hammered out a lot of the discrepancies in the House and Senate versions. So, I think it should move a little bit more quickly than it has. One of the things that I had pushed for, and several other legislators pushed for, was a 72-hour hold for people that had just had an overdose. Mm-hmm. And we were asking, that the law allow for up to 72 hours for the person to be held, whether it was in the hospital or in another setting where they're in recovery, because what can happen now is within 24 hours, once they are okay from that overdose, they can go back out on the street. And typically what's been happening is they actually leave sooner. It was sort of a compromise to get it down to the hours that we have. But they'll leave as soon as they get signed out by the doctor. They'll leave and go immediately to get the next fix. And then the next thing you know, they are either back in or they are on their way to the morgue.
It's crazy.
It is that devastating to them. And what the longer hold would have allowed was the families to come and maybe try to intervene as well. They would finally be able to kind of find out where their family member was, go to them, and try to intervene. But in this case, it there is still that chance of intervention. Just the longer they could be held, the better chance for that intervention, is what we were hoping.
When does the state take up the discussion about treatments, ways to treat this, ways to hold pharmaceutical companies accountable? I mean, or is it something on a grand scale that the federal government has to get involved, or there has to be a lawsuit by many attorney general across the country?
Yeah.
I mean, what does that have to be in order to find out? Because a part of it,
I got to be honest with you. I think Massachusetts is always proven to be a leader in so many areas, from healthcare, where we were the model for the Affordable Care Act, whether you like it or not, we were the model. Mm-hmm. We were the model for Common Core, whether you like it or not. Our education standards were the highest in the country, and I think this bill that we've got coming out to deal with opiate abuse, changes to allow law enforcement to modify some of how they act, restrictions on the amount of drugs that doctors can now prescribe, so that you don't have a 30-day supply, you have a much shorter day.
3 to 7, depending on what ends up being worked out.
Right, exactly, in the final conference. And I think those kind of changes are what need to happen across the country. I mean, and by the way, I will say this about the gun laws. You talk about strict gun laws. Massachusetts is right up there at the top. And gun owners, this is slightly off topic, but gun owners will say, we want, laws that, protect us as well. We're not for looser laws. We're just for enforcement of the laws that are on the books, and that's been a problem. But my point is this. We actually have, you know, great gun laws, and the rest of the country, I think, is looking at Massachusetts to see if, you know, we can sort of be a model on that. And this opiate bill, I think, you know, based on what the Governor Baker has put forward and what the House and Senate are looking to probably pass, is going to be a model, I think, for other states to move forward on how they reform their opiate addiction problems.
Okay. Anything else you want to touch upon in the next couple of minutes before we wrap up this segment?
No, I'll just say anybody, I mean, we touch a lot of suburban towns, obviously, and I would just urge my friends out there in the listening audience to urge your state reps and senators to support increased Chapter 70 funding formula. I know it's a $20 per student increase this year, or increase this year, and I think we're trying to see if we can get maybe a $25, if not larger, sure. Increase, because the more we can put into the schools, who, by the way, are dealing with a Chapter 70 formula that is in sort of an open heart surgery itself. They've determined that the special ed, the money that cities and towns are getting for special ed reimbursement is really out of whack, and also healthcare costs for employees has made the 70 funding formula sort of outdated. So until we can get that 70 funding formula fixed, which is what goes towards education, I'd urge that you tell your state rep or state senator, please, in the budget, ask for an increase in that Chapter 70 per pupil line item.
When the House puts forth their budget, do you see any significant changes in regards to Chapter 70 money or anything that'll be instituted?
Let me say this. Rep Cutler, Josh Cutler, who he and I actually split Whitman-Hanson as a regional school, have asked for a $50 per pupil increase. Now, that's a $20 million increase ask. So, you know, where do you find the $20 million? That's going to be the question. I will do what I can, as I have in the past, to try to find where I think we don't exactly spend our money in the most, in the best way. For example, the Olympics, we were looking at potentially funding the overruns. I said that will devastate our local budgets as far as what resources they have. So I will continue to be a watchdog for the spending, but I do think that it needs to come back to the towns in the form of Chapter 70 as best as possible.
Okay. We have been speaking with, who's my guest co-host, along with Joe Rossi, who has returned. Talking a little bit about some of the stuff happening up on the Hill. What we'll do is we're going to step aside for a couple of moments, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.